There's been something I've been wanting to do for, I guess, 3 or 4 weeks. So I'm going to do it today, praise God. A couple months back, we did CORE, which is a discipleship series, which we ask people to go through before they can become a voting member of our church, a member of our church. And I wanted to ask these people to stand up so I can embarrass them, because it was beautiful. I mean, we got together for 3 weeks in a row. I guess an hour, 6:30, 2 hours at a time. So we spent like 6 hours together, and just blessed. So I'm going to call some names out, and I want you to stand up, Ernie and Kathy. They were the youngest ones in there. Praise God. Jonathan and Amy, stand up. Bill Cordova III, he's a Minnesota Twins, and I don't hold that against him at all, that he's a Minnesota Twins. Got another Twins fan here, right here, Bill. Praise God. Andy and Lori Ward were part of that. Drew, you haven't turned your paperwork in, but I'm going to let you stand up. I'm going to let you stand up, man. It's all right. Who else am I forgiving? Because there's more people in there than that, man. Oh, my gosh. Ken and Jocelyn Thomas, beautiful people. Who else am I forgetting, man? I think Brian Dobbins. Where's he at, man? Oh, man. But Brian was in there. Brian and Jennifer Dobbins were in there as well. But anyway, thank you all. Seriously, we're blessed to have you here. Blessed. I feel like I forgot somebody. I know Bill was in there with me. Praise God. He kept me straight. It's always great to have that. This morning when I came in, I need to have something. When I came in here this morning, I was, you know, doing my regular Martha routine before we, if anybody knows about Mary and Martha. But anyway, where those chairs are stacked back there, there was a water bottle left there upside down as I look over to the teenagers here for Wednesday night. So I went underneath there and picked the bottle up, and there was a nice bee on there. I mean, it freaked me out. What is on? There's huge bees on my hand, and I'm stomping it out, and chairs are falling, and Jonathan and Kathy are looking, what's wrong with that guy, man? But I got stung this morning, man, so I'm feeling this pain right here. So, Keith, you've already seen my message. If I fall down, will you go up and finish it? Praise God. You all did the CORE the last time. These are the Duanes. They're a beautiful couple, man. Praise God. Thank you for doing that. Seriously. Tammy was in there last time. Praise God. Oh, boy. All right, let's go. There's no blanks in your guide today, so don't worry about filling anything. This might be the first time ever that I didn't have blanks in there. There's a story in the Bible starting in Matthew 7:14 of a man coming up to Jesus, falling on his knees, the Bible says, asking Jesus to have mercy on his son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill. I don't know if I've ever had a parent come up and tell me that their son was a lunatic, but I don't know. But his dad had originally brought his son to the disciples for them to heal him, and they couldn't heal him. So Matthew 17:17 says, and Jesus answered and says, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long should I put up with you? And I thought, man, that would be a front line, front page thing to put on the newspapers this morning, wouldn't it be? Everybody would look up the front of the newspaper, the Washington Post, which is very, you know. You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you, Jesus said. How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. And there's a little bit more that goes on with the story, because in the scriptures in verse 19, then the disciples came up to Jesus privately and asked him, why couldn't we drive the demon out ourselves? And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. And verse 21 says, and it's not in all the versions, but in the NASB, it says, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Great story. There's another story in Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 18, where Jesus one morning, he was returning to the city and he was hungry and he saw a lone fig tree by the road, came up to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. He said to it, "No longer shall there ever be any fruit from you." And at once the fig tree withered. Matthew 21, 20 says, "And seeing this, the disciples were amazed and asked, 'How did the fig tree wither all at once?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done by the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast in the sea, it will happen. And all the things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive.'" And I got to be honest with you, I've had trouble with these passages in my life. I've had trouble reading these and thinking, man, all the things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. And I feel like the teaching of Jesus on faith and prayer should be interpreted in terms of what he has already said in these two stories I've read for you this morning. I think Jesus in these two stories are emphasizing that the power of prayer lies not in the power of the believer, but the power of God. In addition, I think the context of Jesus' teaching made clear that Jesus was talking about prayer, I feel, for the accomplishments of God's purposes. That's what prayer was for. And Jesus, he speaks of faith versus doubt in these two stories. He refers to trusting in the power of God, and the subject of the believer's request in prayer is not just anything imaginable, but something that furthers God's purposes. Wouldn't we want that here? Jesus' example of ordering a mountain to throw itself in the sea uses really, I think, an overstatement or a hyperbole, someone would say, to illustrate colorfully how powerful God is. 1 John 5:14 and 15 says, "This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him." There's a third story I want to share with you this morning. And it starts in John chapter 14, where Philip asked Jesus to show them the Father. And he asked, "Is it enough for us?" And Jesus said to Philip, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father," Jesus said. "Do you not believe that I am the Father, and the Father's in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father in inviting me in me does His works." In verses 11 through 14 of John 14, it says, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." I got to be honest with you, I've read those verses many times in my life. I remember back in the 80s when we got saved in 1981 and we were in a Bible study and they're reading these, and I'm reading these passages and I'm thinking, wait a second, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do because I go to the Father. And then Jesus says, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do so the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And I'm thinking, man, that's powerful. Does God have that much power that we can ask Him to do something? And if it's of His will, if it's of His purposes, if we have prayed and sought Him, would it actually happen to us? And I feel like today, I'm leaving Philippians, I'm coming before you today, I think really from like a month or 2 month long journey that I've been going on with my personal relationship with God, listening to the school, getting together with the elders, talking to the staff about things, you know, vision. What does God have for us? What does He want us to do here? Right here at this church, Community Christian Fellowship. Right here with the school that meets here, Covenant Christian Academy. Because when I read these verses and I've been thinking about it and meditating on them and talking about them with the elders and stuff, I really feel like we have a mountain to move here. Because when the school approached me a couple months ago saying, man, we're growing and I'm here with the school every day they're here, and I see God just flourishing in the school here. It's exciting to see what's going on here. I love having a school here. I love the kids walking down the hallway. I love Andy Savia, you know, marking on the walls and stuff. Praise God. I love all of that. And I see God is working through this school here. And when they approach me saying, Nick, we need more classrooms. I mean, right now, every room in this place is filled up. They're talking to another church just so they can take the 9th and 10th grade there next year. Sienna's going to have her license. She's going to be taking a church van and stuff. Praise God. So when they asked me about the classrooms, you know, I went off by myself. I love being in my office and just praying and working on messages and stuff and getting excited about the Word. And I asked the Lord, what does the church need? The school needs classrooms. What does the church need? And I thought about the mountain, moving the mountain, doing greater things in Him. And I thought, what is the mountain that the church needs to move? And the Word came to me. And it's a four-letter word, and it's called debt. What mountain does He want us to move here as a church? And it's debt. We have a debt here at this church. And I don't even know if I've ever shared with you what debt we have here. You know, since I've had the blessing to be the lead pastor here quarterly, every quarter I try to pass out a sheet to show you all the money that's come in and where every penny has gone. And I thank Darlene Axon for taking care of all that stuff. And you know here where every penny goes, and you see how we're doing year to date all the time. But I don't know if I've ever mentioned debt here before. I don't know if I've been, bold enough to say it. Because for me, in a way, it's embarrassing, but in a way, it's something that I need to share with you because we're all a church family. We're here to grow in our relationship with God. We're here to reach out to our community. We're here to get people plugged in so they can grow in their relationship with God and go outside these walls and make a difference for Him, for His glory, so we can pour into things that the Holy Spirit has done in our hearts and give to the people outside of here. So we have a mountain to move, and it's called debt. And I'm also coming before you here today to tell you that we have a great work to do here today, too, and it's adding more classrooms. I want to have a gymnasium here. I want to have a gymnasium at this church. So before I get into there, let's review and ask what Jesus promises in those three passages that I just did. I just want to review them real fast with you. Matthew 7, 20 through 21. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you, the Word of God says. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Matthew 21 and 22. Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done into that fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. And all these things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. John 14, 12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I thought of three questions that you might be asking right now. Why do you want to pay off the debt of this church? And I can tell you what our debt is right now. $972,182.89. That's how much we owe the bank. For all this land, these two buildings, property in the back. When I came here 11 years ago, I forget what it was down, like $600,000-$700,000, and Pastor Dick felt like we wanted to buy these 3 acres behind here, and I'm glad we did, because we're going to put them to use. That's what we owe. Our monthly mortgage here is $5,985.85. That's what we pay the bank here every month. We've never missed a payment. We've never been late for a payment. It's been a blessing. Our assets here, if you total everything up and we have that on paper, I don't have it in front of me, is a little over $1 million. And I feel like we got to move that mountain because debt is a mountain. We have to move that. Why? For His glory. Because I think to myself, what can we do with $5,985.85 a month if we weren't paying it for our mortgage? You know, the first thing that comes to my mind, we got to have another pastor here. The next thing that comes to my mind, we could give more to missions. Because when it all is said and done, what did we do for the least of these? What did we do for our community? What did we do for people suffering around the world? Then I ask the question, why do you want to build more classrooms? Because most of the ones that we have are not big enough to have more than 12 people in them. The men meet in the toddler's room on Wednesday night. The women are crammed back in a small room in the back building. The teens barely have enough room when they meet in the back on Sunday mornings. All these rooms over here were really designed for offices. That first room, when you come in that door, that used to be my office when I came here. My office has been in like 4 different places now, praise God. Melissa Leveling, our children's ministry director, we don't even have an office here for her. Her office is at home or in her car. I think she has some of the stuff in Joe's car, praise God. So Melissa doesn't even have an office here. Anybody ever seen Pastor Caleb's office? It used to be a closet. It used to be part of the nursery, and then we made the nursery a little bit smaller so we could have a storage room. Then the storage room got filled up, and then we didn't know where to put Caleb. So we took all of the cutting and all. When you walk out here, there's a room on the right. If you open up, you would laugh. That's where the cutting machine is and the folding machine. You should see when it's snowing and we go out there and do that. It's beautiful. Caleb's office is where all the internet boxes are and the phone system and all that stuff. These new rooms will help the school and help us. As we gather here during the week, as we get together for Bible studies, and as the school next year will meet here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, they need rooms. We need rooms to do ministry here. And this will give us more rooms. Why? For community groups? Why? For men's group? Why? For teenage small groups? Why? For women to gather? Then I asked the third question was, why in the world would we want a gymnasium here on this property? Because we feel like, and I've talked to the staff about this, I've talked to the elders about that, about this, because we feel like a gymnasium would be so beneficial to the growth of our youth ministry here that we would be able to reach so many more teens in the community. And I saw this happen in my own life coming from a church in Ashburn where a gymnasium, where they raised money and had a gymnasium and had a new sanctuary. And I saw the youth ministry just explode. Before Caleb was here, he was in a church that had a school that built a gymnasium, and he saw it grow. And then I thought to myself, if we asked any teenager here right now, hey, would you like a gymnasium here? What do you think they'd say? What do you think they would say? Crazy. Then I thought to myself, if we had a gymnasium, man, we could have men volleyball leagues. We could have co-ed volleyball leagues. We could have basketball here. We could use the gymnasium for so many outreach events. So I'm presenting this to you today because I want you to pray. I want you to ask the Lord what He would want you to do to help us to fulfill this purpose, this vision that I'm trying to cast out to you, that you would want to be a part of it, that you would want to help fulfill this, and that would be to pay off our debt and to have more classrooms and a gymnasium here. And I'm going to be honest with you, the school has already been fundraising. The school this year alone has raised $61,000. $61,000. And they're going to keep raising money because they want to go along with us and build these buildings. And at the same time, I want to pay off our debt. I want to be a debt-free church. Why? For the glory of God. So then we can use the money that you so graciously give here that the Lord puts on your heart so we can do more for the kingdom of God. Not to show off. To do more for the kingdom of God. I want to show you our dream. I have a couple pictures here. That do the other one first, praise God. No, there should be another one. And I probably didn't get it to you then. Sorry about that. Okay. Oh, boy. Right there, you see where it says gym and educational building? That's right there, back in the back of the parking lot. These long lines here, they're drain fields right here next, out back the building. So when you go down there, we'd have to move that tot lot, and that's where we want to put the gymnasium. That's where we want to put a classrooms, and it's a two-story classroom. Sorry, I don't have. I probably didn't send you that other picture. Sorry about that. I'll show you that next week. But that's what our dream is, to have a full gym and to have a building right next to it that has two floors, that has classrooms in it for the school and for the church to use. I want you to pray, Lord, is this your will for us? God, is this your purpose for us, for our church family? And we want to be glorified in the Son. Let's go back to the Word, Matthew 7. Because these verses have always messed with me. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. What man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he not give him a snake? Will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? So I look at those verses and I think, everyone who asks receives. And I want you to ask according to his will. Everyone who seeks finds. And I want you to seek the Lord. Is this the purpose that you want us to do here? Him who knocks, it will be open. I want you to pray because through this, everything we do here, we want to glorify the Father and the Son in everything we do here. We're asking you to pray, even fast if you can, to pray to the Lord by asking Him, seeking Him, knocking, and asking the Lord to open up the door and direct us here as a church family in this building project, as well as paying off the debt we have. And I got to be honest with you, I'm afraid to ask God that. I'm afraid to ask you that, because I'm afraid you're going to say no. But we have to ask, don't we? We have to seek, don't we? We have to do those things to fulfill the purposes He has here for us. I thought to myself, people are going to walk out of here saying two things today. One, no. And two, he's nuts. He's crazy. He's a lunatic. Last Sunday morning in our prayer time, you know, and you all are always invited to come to the prayer room there at 9 o'clock. And last Sunday, it was Keith McIntyre, it was Joe Leveling, it was Bill Duffy and myself. And Bill, if you ever notice, he always has a little book with him, a little notebook with him. Like a little binder, which he uses to write things down that he feels the Holy Spirit is telling him. And last Sunday, he read an entry when I went back in there, and it was just, I've been getting so much confirmation the last couple weeks about this. It's just exciting. And here's the entry he made back in June 26, 2013. Why did God have him, why did the Holy Spirit have him read that to us last Sunday morning? And this is what he read. Everything begins and ends with prayer. Nothing can happen without it if it is in God's desires. To start without it is to go out undressed or unprotected. God's hand doesn't move unless we ask it to move on our behalf in all that we endeavor to do. We don't lead and expect God to follow. God leads and we follow. And I think to myself, I've been here 11 years now, and I've never come before you and asked. Most of the time when I'm coming and asking you, I'm asking you because I want you to get plugged in. I'm asking you because I want you to get in a community group or a Bible study so you can grow in your faith. I just want to be a cheerleader. But I got to be honest with you, in 11 years, and I might be embarrassed to say this, in 11 years, I've never gone to God and say, God, could you take the debt away that we have here? God, could you take this mountain that we seem to have here, which I really don't pay attention to it because God's been blessing us. People are giving. We're paying our mortgage every month, and it's going down little by little. But I've never asked them, God, can you take this debt away? God, can you give us the things that we need to build classrooms here for the school and for the church? Can we have a gymnasium here where this place would be flooded with teenagers, where there'd be water bottles laying everywhere and bees laying on them so when I pick them up, praise God. It's hard for me to ask. Last night we're turning the channels because there's like nothing on TV anymore. And I don't know what Netflix is. I don't know anything about that stuff. And I'm turning on the Daystar channel and they have this movie on here, this Christian movie, and I forget the name of it. Something about inspiration. And they had this guy grouping together with his kids and he started reading, ask and you will give. You know, he started asking those verses there, ask and you will receive. And the tears are starting to come. Kathy goes, what in the world's the matter with you? I said, the verses I'm using tomorrow, man. It was right in there in the movie. It's hard for me to ask. I'm not an asker. And I'm embarrassed to say that to you. It's hard for me to ask. I just work harder. If I need something done, I'm just going to work harder. I'm just going to put more hours in. I'm still going to surround myself with brothers and sisters so I can grow in my relationship with God. But I'm asking you today. I'm asking you to pray and seek the Lord and even fast and what He would have you to do to partner with us financially and prayerfully. I want to have something called the First Fruit Sunday where we give a one-time gift to make a commitment to give monthly above and beyond your normal tithe. It's a big commitment. I'm thinking, how long would it take for us to do this? In my mind, 3 years. 3 years keeps coming into my mind. It's a big commitment because we got a mountain to move, man. And we want to build and we have a mountain called debt we want to move. And I want to be remembered here for a church family that did a great work. That did a great work here so that we can have more classrooms and a gymnasium to help us reach out to the lost and give people an opportunity to receive Christ and grow in their faith. And after praying and asking and seeking and knocking, and I'm going to ask you to do this for 40 days. There's something biblical about that. I'm asking you to do it for 40 days. Because I had it all worked out in the calendar, 34 days, and Keith goes, why don't we do 40? Yeah, that's biblical. 40 days I'm asking you to pray what you would have for a one-time gift. When we come here on June 12th, that's going to be the day. You know, I'm going to be talking about building. I'm going to be talking about praying. I'm going to be talking about fasting. I'm going to be talking about what God's Word says. My wife and I were part of a building campaign way back in the early 90s. And we gave a one-time gift, and they asked us to make a commitment for 3 years to give above and beyond what you normally give. Because this is not about what we normally give. This is above and beyond what we give. Because of what reason why you give is the reason why we can do everything in this church. But we're asking you to go above and beyond that. So Kathy and I gave a one-time gift and we made a commitment to give monthly for 3 years above the 10% we already gave. Because for some reason when Kathy and I got saved and we heard a guy preach about the tithe, meaning 10%, and they showed all the places in the Bible, we made a commitment, and praise God, my wife has kept to it, because I'm not good with money. And for since 19, I would say at the end of 1981, we've been given 10% of my salary, and I'm going to tell you something, man, we have been blessed, overflowing. It's like when Malachi says, you know, test me in this and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven. And I've experienced that in my life. I mean, look at my girl, man. I mean, I've been blessed. And I'm thankful every day. Seriously, she wouldn't let me have a donut. That got me upset today. But the doctor called last week. Praise God. Don't give her a microphone. Praise God. But we saw what would happen. And this is before I was even in ministry. We saw how God blessed our marriage, how God blessed where I was working. My gosh, I was, you know, given, you know, above 10%, and here I am at my job selling maintenance contracts for computers and back then typewriters, if you ever heard of a typewriter, fax machines and stuff. And God was blessing me like crazy. I didn't even know how to turn a computer on. Try not to laugh. Seriously. And this was 1993. I'm sitting in front of the Council of Governments downtown writing up a $30 million contract for 3 years. And I didn't even know how to turn a computer on. And it was just God. Just God blessing me. I'm still pretty bad with computers, praise God. But what did I see come out of that building campaign? And you know, one Sunday I'd like to have Kevin and Laura Wrench. I'm not trying to embarrass you in front of everybody, but just getting together with Kevin and him telling me how they had a building campaign at their church and what happened there and stuff. And Kathy and I experienced the same thing. And I tried to write down what happened at our church, at Christian Fellowship Church. Stronger marriage, better jobs, job promotion, people finding their future spouse, healings, opportunities to move into better homes, families being blessed with more children. It's unbelievable. 2 weeks ago, two Sundays ago in our community group, this question was asked. Because I circled it because it just blew me away. Even though I did write out the question, I'm not trying to take pride for it. But Acts 4, 29 through 30 says this. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak the word with great boldness. And I read that verse. God, I want to be bold, man. I want to be bold for you. It says, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your Holy Spirit, Jesus. And we're probably going to do that today at the altar. We're probably going to have people up here who are struggling, maybe with something they're going through. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a marriage. But we're going to ask God to stretch out your hand and perform signs and wonders through the name of your Holy Spirit, Jesus, because we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. And after they prayed, the Bible says in Acts 4:31, boy, I love this verse. Man, maybe we should write it on the wall back there. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And I got so excited about that verse. And then in working on this message, I'm trying to think, God, am I going to be able to ask them this? Am I going to be bold enough to come up and say, hey, we owe $972,000 here. That's sad. And then I looked at the one verse before that, and it said this in Acts 4:28. And maybe this could be our prayer for us. Maybe you could read this verse every day and pray over it to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. Isn't that powerful? I mean, that's something to pray. Lord, for you to do what your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. So please pray that His hand and His purpose, He's predestined for us to occur here. As we ask Him to bless our plans to build here at Community Christian Fellowship, as well as paying off our debt. I looked at Bible Gateway because I do know how to get on websites, praise God. And I looked up these three words in the NASB Bible. I wonder how many times the word built is in the Bible. 189 times. How about rebuilt? 24 times. How about repair? 55 times in the Bible. In Ezra, Nehemiah, 31 times alone it talks about repairing. Colossians 2, 6 and 7, therefore as you have received Christ, Jesus Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him, establishing your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. That's us. That's our church family. We want people to come in here. And if you're here for the first time, thank you so much. Fill out a visitor card. Go back there to the visitors. There'll be a lady named Dana Jordan there who will give you a gift packet. Because we want you to get plugged in here. We feel like you're here for a reason today. Because God wants to do a greater work in here through us. He wants to use us. He wants to build this church up and it'd be a great place for people to invite people. I'm telling you, if you're a teenager, all you have to do is say you have a gymnasium and they'll be there. We used to take buses out on the road, and when they found out there was a gym there, the next week there'd be seven people there with bouncing a basketball. Hey, we're going to the gym with you, man. I mean, I don't feel like God is calling us to a bus ministry here right now, but maybe you got a van that you want to invite people to come here. Psalm 6:9, the Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord receives my prayer. Psalm 55:1, give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Keith gave me this verse the other day. It's just confirmation. Psalm 90:17, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm for us the work of His hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. 2 Chronicles 7:12, then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said, I have heard your prayer and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. I'm telling you, I read that verse and I saw the church building here. I saw Community Christian Fellowship here if the band wants to come forward. I want God to say to us, I've heard your prayer. I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. And can I tell you something? It's going to take a lot of sacrifice. What I'm asking you to do is going to take a lot of sacrifice, because you're going to have to go to God and you're going to ask Him, God, what do you want me to do to make a difference for my church family? They want to pay off their debt. They want to build a gymnasium. They want to build classrooms there. God, do you want me to be a part of that? What do you want me to do? Maybe I have to get rid of something in order to afford to give something more than that. Maybe we could take a 3-year sabbatical from Netflix, even though I don't know what that is. I don't know how much it is. I don't know. I have heard your prayer. Come on, ushers. I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself in the house of sacrifice. When I was doing my homework this week for Battle Plan of Prayer, it's very, very good study. It said this on page 62. Praise God. I have a marker here. I'm going to read it in a second. Prayer is a powerful weapon against worry and anxious thoughts by thanking God for His faithfulness in the past and turning every concern over to Him in prayer. Beautiful. I mean, that's beautiful. He goes on to say, He promises to guard our hearts and minds with His peace. Prayerfulness produces peacefulness. Without prayer, we will cloud our minds with useless worry. Beautiful. Father, I just give you the glory for today, Lord. Thank you for giving me the strength to come forward here, Father. I just want to be in your will. I want to do your purposes. But, Father, I'm asking you, and I'm not doubting, Father, because I know you have the power to do everything. Everything. Your word says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. And there's no turning, Father. So I just thank you for what you've done here. Thank you for the people here. Thank you for the family we have here. I want to give my life for this family. Just like I would for my wife, I want to give my life for them. I want to study to show myself approved. I want to realize that your word is the way, that you are the way and the truth and the life. And I know what we say here is really counterculture to what we people hear on the media. Father, I get so worried about teenagers or worried about adults that are listening to programs and seeing philosophies and things that are not pleasing in your sight, Father. And your word tells us to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to reprove them, talk about them, teach them to our children, Father. Help us to be a church that's going to stand up to the truth, Lord. And I feel like when we do that, you're going to bless us. You're going to bring people here, and we're going to do our best to pour into them the things that we've learned from your word, Father, and prepare them and get ready to go outside these walls and make a difference for you, to give a reason for the hope that we have with gentleness and respect or meekness and fear. And we need to have fear right now, Lord. We have need to have fear because we see the culture is spiraling downwards and God is giving unbelievers over and people who don't want to seek you the futility of their hearts, Father, and their minds and hearts are being darkened and they're doing things that they should not do. And then we have people in the media or the movie makers approving of them, approving of what they shouldn't do. So, Father, help us to be a church that stands fast, that holds strong, that's rooted and grounded in you, Father, and your word, Father. Help us to be a church that sacrifices for you. Sacrifice our time and use our gifts that the Holy Spirit given us, because your word says the Holy Spirit does give the gifts as he sees fit to do his glory here, Father. So we pray for those things today, Lord. I pray that you give each one of us a prayerful heart for 40 days, Father. You gave me this picture of a calendar with a verse and stuff, and I'm going to do that for you this week, Lord. That we can be all on the same page, praying the same prayers, thinking about the same things, seeking you, asking you to open the door up for us to do this thing, Lord. I don't want to stay comfortable. I don't want to stay the same. These buildings are going to rot one day, Lord. But it's the hearts. It's the heart that's going to make the difference, Father. It's the healings that's going to happen here that people are going to remember. It's the glorious reunions of marriages coming back together and reconciling. It's doing great weddings here, doing great baptisms here, doing great discipleship here that's going to make a difference for you, Father. So, Father, I just ask you, Lord, to bless us. Help us and show us how we can do a greater work that's never been done here at this place, Father. And we're going to give you the glory. In your name I pray, amen.